This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. If you've just joined us, well, I have on the line with me Professor Susan Sawyer, Director of the Centre for Adolescent Health from the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. We're going to be discussing the age of adolescence and how it should be redefined. If you'd read some articles that came out a couple of days ago, they're now saying adolescence lasts from the ages of 10 to 24 instead of it ending at the age of 19, and according to a new paper published by The Lancet. So Susan, who's the lead author, is on the line to help us understand the biological arguments for why this definition should be extended and how it will affect social policy. Welcome to the show, Susan. How are you today?
Hi, Mira. Lovely to be on the show.
Susan, in the past, how was adolescence defined and what were the parameters that we took into consideration then?
The definitions of adolescence that we use now were first defined in the middle of last century, in the 1960s, by the World Health Organization. And the starting point was the timing of puberty. And the end point is what we refer to by this fairly fancy name of social role transitions, but it effectively just describes a series of behaviours, if you like, that have historically denoted adulthood, like marriage, bearing children, financial independence. So there were both biological determinants and social and cultural determinants that encapsulated that definition or influenced that definition.
And it would seem like those are some of the same factors you took into consideration in your study. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes. We're still thinking that one can think about both defining adolescence from a biological perspective and from a social role perspective. And regardless of whether you choose to look at it biologically or sociologically, things have changed. And so what this paper is about is describing that puberty is starting from a biological perspective, is starting earlier than it has historically. And in terms of new scientific understandings of brain development, a really other an important aspect of biological maturation, over the past decade, there's been a flowering of studies that demonstrate that brain maturation continues through the teenage years and well into the mid-20s. So we're sort of suggesting that you could, if you wanted to, choose to use biological markers both as the entry point and as the offset of adolescence. And that would suggest, actually, in terms of the timing of some of the earliest invisible changes of puberty, the hormonal activation starts at about the age of 8 to 9, to be honest. So that could be something that spanned as far as, say, even 8 through to 30. But rather, we're suggesting that's probably too big a stretch. And if we look at the timing of social role transitions around the world, then given that in OECD countries, for example, about 43% of young people now go on to some form of tertiary studies, there is a tremendous upward age in the timing of marriage and parenting, which is also, I know, taking place in Malaysia. We're signalling that rather than 10 to 19, for contemporary adolescents, 10 to 24-year-old seems a more reasonable stab at this definition.
But what are the implications of, you know, changing this definition going forward?
Look, I think that's the really important question. That was the starting point of us doing this work, because if you look at so many of the laws or policies or programs that have been put in place around adolescence, they have been done largely from the perspective of protecting children from harm. So this is laws about the minimum age of full-time employment, for example, or laws about the age of marriage, laws about when you can start military service, laws around the age of first being able to drive or buy alcohol. So there are a whole lot of laws, laws around number of years you should spend in mandatory education, you know, what's the minimum number of years of secondary schooling, for example. So what we were trying to argue is, well, what is this period of adolescence? If we think that in the span of the life course, what adolescence is actually about is this time in life where young people really acquire the assets and resources that increase their life chances, if you like, that improve their health and life chances across their life, then this is a period to think very carefully about those policies. So The examples we use in the paper are there are a whole lot of things that we would want to bring downward in age rather than waiting for some magical age of, say, 18 or 20 in order to do so. So the age of voting is the example we used, where Japan recently shifted its age of voting from 20, where it had been for historically, down to the age of 18. And we would argue that that's a good shift because voting is a very safe activity. It's important to be engaging young people in civic participation, and voting is evidence of that. But we suggest that, well, the Japanese and indeed the Australians could do better by emulating what Scotland recently did, and they reduced their age of voting from 18 down to 16. On the other hand, there is reason to think about moving beyond the age of 18 where greater protection is required. And we use the example of young people whose care was being managed by the state. So in New Zealand, for example, adolescents who were cared for by the state previously left the state's responsibility as soon as they turned 18, and they were then completely on their own. And the New Zealand government very sensibly appreciated that rather than that approach, which for this very vulnerable group of young people was leaving them absolutely in the lurch without the support of what families would otherwise be providing, they changed their policy. They made it discretionary, so young people didn't have to, but they offered continuing support in a more transitional period up to the age of 25 that included things like leaving home accommodation allowance, mentorship and support if required. So this more transitional period from 18 through to 25. And we feel that that sort of policy is more consistent with an upward age of adolescence.
Fantastic. I mean, I suppose it makes a lot of sense. But you do have people who, you had your detractors who didn't quite agree with this study. What are your thoughts on that?
If you say to people, you know, we're talking about extending adolescence up to the age of 24, and if people think that in so saying we're suggesting that adolescence is the same as childhood, then of course young people are going to be the most antagonistic towards that. But rather, if you recognise that adolescence is different to childhood and different to adulthood, it has elements of both. It is in a critical period of growth and development, but young people have human rights, young people have so many capabilities. This is the most exciting, creative period in our lives. If you think of it in that way, in a very positive way, then most of the young people I speak to, at least in Australia, I think are pretty excited to recognise that this is not coming from the perspective of infantilising young people, but rather to be finding ways of both supporting them and empowering them to be fully active, participating members of our communities, because for the health of our communities, both now and the future, that's what we're needing young people to be doing.
And I think here in Malaysia, we need to recognise that even more. I think this is one group of people who sort of fall between the cracks. We have tons of paediatricians and then we have general physicians, but we don't have enough adolescent specialists, for an example. So that itself is telling that this group needs a lot more attention. Well, fantastic. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and well done with the paper being recognised by The Lancet. Thank you for joining us, Susan.
Thank you, Mira.
Professor Susan Sawyer, lead author, director of the Centre for Adolescent Health, Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, speaking to us about the age of adolescence redefined on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.